The air in Colorado Springs is usually so dry it quickly chaps your lips. What gives? I mean, the name Colorado Springs sounds wet enough.
There are really no springs in Colorado Springs. And so when you start talking about Colorado Springs and water, it's a divergence between our name and our reality. It sounds like you have a lot, and in reality, we didn't.
This is Matt Mayberry, Colorado Springs historian. I've heard about this massive water pipeline project the town's been cooking up, and I was curious just how long the city's worked to quench its thirst. Mayberry's got an exhaustive book on that, with an exhaustive title.
Blah, 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 blah. The Emergence and Appropriation of Water Rights in Colorado Springs.
The Crib Notes version? Early on, buffalo manure poisoned Colorado Springs Creek, so people dug wells. Then the wells got infested with grasshoppers, and then the town grew and grew and grew again.
Very soon, you had to begin bringing water in from further away, and ultimately to the western slope, which is a couple of hours' drive from here.
Today, Colorado Springs pipes water through the Rocky Mountain Range. Now, doing the extraordinary for water is kind of ordinary for Colorado Springs. Its latest pipeline project is called the Southern Delivery System, and it will pump nearly 80 million gallons into town each year. And it will pump that water 45 miles, completely uphill. It's impressive, but some people are asking tough questions about it.
Our concern with this project is the greenhouse gas emissions that it would contribute to.
Stacy Tellinghusen is with Western Resource Advocates, a Colorado environmental group. Tellinghusen says there's a connection between pumping water uphill and a large carbon footprint.
Pumping it over a great distance takes a lot of energy. It would require something along the lines of 60 megawatts of power, which is about a tenth of a coal-fired power plant.
And for the most part, the utility burns natural gas and coal to generate power. Both emit carbon dioxide, a greenhouse gas. Tellinghusen says Western cities are considering at least five other water pipeline projects, some with even larger carbon footprints. She wants Colorado Springs to set an example by using dedicated low-carbon sources like wind power for its water pumps. I asked the Colorado Springs utilities about that. Keith Riley helped plan the Southern Delivery System.
We think there are some ways that we can minimize the carbon footprint by looking to newer technologies.
Riley says there were lots of environmental regulations to wade through before the Southern Delivery System got approved. But a large carbon footprint does not disqualify utility projects. Riley says even if carbon were considered, the project might have gone forward anyway because the city's expected to grow over the next few decades.
You know, water is the essential element for all of us. So when it comes down to that level of sustaining our own lives, then you get to some trade-offs on what are we willing to do to keep ourselves alive where we live, where our cities are. No matter what happens, we have got to move water to Colorado Springs, and Colorado Springs is situated uphill from the river. So we've got to get the water uphill one way or another.
Riley says Colorado Springs Utilities is considering low-carbon, renewable power for its new pipeline, but it will be expensive and no one stepped forward with all the money. Other Western cities are engineering ways of moving water around too, and it will be a political and financial challenge for them to pay for their carbon footprint. For the Environment Report, I'm Sean Ali.